Hello, everybody, and welcome to day two of our technology session. I've been on the phone since 12 noon. I'm sure many of you have, and it's been so interesting. The sharing, the camaraderie, it's just beautiful. So some of us are teachers trying to teach you, and new students are teaching us, and that's awesome. We learn all the time, and we teach all the time. As long as you have that motto, you're going to do very well. Today, we have a dear friend of mine. I call him Mr. Apple. His name is Matt Volbrecht. He has so many things under his name, titles and accolades. I would take the whole hour to fill it up and tell you all about it. But I'm just going to tell you how I met him. You know how important I think listservs are. And I met Matt Volbrecht on a listserv years ago. And then I reached out to him and he was on my tech division calls. He did a tech seminar for me. He's done two and he's going to do a third state convention for New Jersey as a key workshop leader. He's just awesome. I think you're going to enjoy his session. His topic today is a day in the digital life. So if you were relying on all things automated, what would your day look like? So we're going to do it in three parts, morning, afternoon, and evening of sorts. And then I'm going to open it up for questions after each portion of the day. So yesterday I told you to sit back, relax, and enjoy. And today I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you to sit up, listen, and prepare to get wowed. And now, Matt, you have the floor.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Well, first of all, I really appreciate it. I really thank you so much for the support, Janie. Thanks for having me. Always looking forward to any opportunity that we get to spend time together and work together and so on. And hopefully we can have another state convention in person sooner rather than later. But in the meantime, we're good to go virtually. And you know what? As Janie said, I'd like to share with you a day in the connected digital life. You know, I refer to that term, the connected digital life, because I think it best describes the experience of having all of your documents, your music, your TV shows, everything you want, everything that's important to you, wherever you are, on all of your devices, no matter what. If you go out, your house knows how to respond and is ready for you when you get home. And when you're traveling, you have access to everything that you need. I want to stress that technology has been a major part of my life since I was a kid, and I now am a certified Apple teacher. This is, you know, what I do for a living. But my family and I, the things that I'm about to share with you, this is our lives. This is what we do every day. This is how we live. And it's not that hard and it's not that expensive. And so I'd like to share with you today kind of what some of the possibilities are. This is going to be a whirlwind tour. Some of your heads might spin because we got a very short 60-minute sweep of the clock to get this in and answer questions and all that. So we're going to move pretty quickly, kind of share with you what's possible. Starting with the morning. When we get up in the morning, right away, we recognize the fact that we are in a smart home because we can set up using our iPhone, our iPad, whatever we want. We can set up the coffee to already be brewing when we're waking up. And we do that on Sunday mornings because Sunday's a very routine day for us. We go to church every Sunday. And so we have a set time for the coffee to begin brewing and the coffee maker to shut off again. But what's really cool is it only does it if somebody's home. So if we're away on vacation or something, that coffee maker does not turn on. It knows that we're not home and it knows it needs to just stay off. Now, on other days of the week, we have slightly more varied schedules. My wife doesn't. She's a teacher. She has pretty much the same schedule every day, but there's summers off. And then for the rest of us, my kids are full-time online doing school from home and I work from home. So our days don't necessarily start at the exact same time every day, but that's okay. When we want to have our coffee, we can simply tell Siri on any device, iPad, iPhone, Apple TV, Apple Watch, or HomePod, or even our Mac computer, really, if we wanted to, we can say to Siri, make my coffee, and she'll immediately do it. Or at the touch of a button, a little button that we can put on the nightstand even, we can start the coffee brewing. Now, that's just one example, but I also want to show you, using my iPad right here, that there might be other things you want to do with Siri with your home devices. For example, one of the questions we might want to ask Siri after my wife goes to work is the front door locked?
Your front door is locked.
And there you go. You heard that for yourself. If it were not locked, I could tell Siri to lock the front door and she would do that for me automatically. And of course, a lot of this does depend on various accessories that we have. I don't have time right now to get into every one of them by name, but there are some accessories that are needed for these things to work. Just to, you know, be full disclosure about that up front. If I want Siri to lock the front door, she'll do it. If I want her to unlock the front door, if I use my HomePod, which is a smart speaker just sitting in here, she's not going to just unlock the front door without any question. What she's going to basically say in so many words is, are you really authorized to do this? And how am I going to tell her that I'm authorized? I'm going to pick up my iPhone and I'm going to authenticate myself using my face or my fingerprint, whatever my device offers me. And then Siri's going to confirm for me, do you really want to unlock the front door? And that way there's no security risks of somebody else trying to unlock your secure devices. So we can do this with the garage door, with the front door. We have a camera. I have no vision, no eyesight, but I, you know, can hear the audio of the camera. My kids, my wife can see the people at the camera. So we have all of those kinds of smart devices too. So that's just the morning. That's just the coffee and the front door. It goes so far beyond that. We could talk about how my son has a smart, it's not our main one, but we do have a smart microwave that he can actually speak to and tell, you know, how long to cook the whatever it might be that we want to cook. We can talk about how our mornings are impacted by something as simple as the TV shows we're watching while we're eating breakfast. If the kids and I want to watch a show or my wife's home, we want, you know, we are cord cutters. So we use an Apple TV full time. That means we have access to hundreds and hundreds of channels, cloud-based DVR, and a whole bunch of on-demand titles. And we can do it at a fraction of the cost. We have the interface we love on the Apple TV, and it doesn't just have to be Apple TV. It can be our iPads, our iPhones, whatever devices, no matter where we are located. Now, of course, at some point, it's not just about breakfast and TV, right? At some point, we got to get to work, whatever that means on a given day. And for my kids, that means schoolwork. Now, when they are working from home, they're using a platform called Google Classroom. And Google Classroom is a learning management system that allows their teachers to distribute materials to them, give them assignments, even teach them using video or live meetings if they choose to do so. And they can use their Chromebooks or their iPads to complete these tasks. Of course, we prefer the iPads here because we're an Apple family, but the kids also have Chromebooks that their school has given to them. But here's the really, really cool part, guys. Now, listen up if you haven't heard anything else I've said yet, because this is really cool. As a parent who also happens to be totally blind, what I used to be able to see of my kids' schoolwork was extremely limited. I could ask them to read. I could ask my wife to tell me, but I didn't have direct access to the stuff that they're doing. That has all changed because of technology. I have now literally been able, with both of my kids, now my son is older, he's in middle school, I don't have to do it as often with him, but with my daughter almost every day, because she prefers it that way, I grab her iPad while she's using her Chromebook if I need to, and I can actually see the exact same things that she's saying. That means I can be a fully involved parent, seeing every assignment that she's doing, helping her with homework if I need to, giving her pointers, reminding her about missed assignments, and anything else that I might need to do for school. This in and of itself, that warrants, as far as I'm concerned, an entire presentation. That is revolutionary. And so that's a lot of our day with the schoolwork. Now, the morning for me also might consist of my own job, which is a possibility of anything from creating support articles, updating my website, training clients, you know, a variety of other, doing a podcast, although I was going to save that for the nighttime segment. But still, all of these things that I do using an iPad, an iPhone, or a Mac. I have all three. I use them at different times, but most of the time I run my business from my 10.2-inch 8th-generation iPad. It is so easy. I can use apps like WordPress to update my website. I can use apps like Zoom, WebEx, FaceTime, Google Meet, and Microsoft Teams to host live training sessions. I can use apps like Anchor and GarageBand, Voice Memos, and Backpack Studio to create podcasts. I can use apps like Live Now or just the Apple Clips app to create movies and video to host on YouTube. I can use apps like Apple Keynote and Apple Pages to create stunning multimedia presentations or written documents. And of course, all of this done wirelessly from wherever I'm at. If I'm at home, if we want to go outside with a glass of lemonade and do it from the back deck, if we want to go to a restaurant with somebody and work from there at the coffee shop, whatever we need to do, this is the connected digital life. Now I'm going to pause. Jamie, I'm going to see if you have anything to contribute here or if we want to take some questions before we move on, because I know we got to keep the ball rolling here.
I told you folks to sit up, pay attention. I'm telling you, this is incredible. So I think we'll just open it up to questions and maybe we can see if there's some raised hands for at this point.
Okay.
Okay. 470.
470 sounds like Les Cameron.
Yeah, Les from Georgia. Two quick questions. I have a coffee pot that has a push button. You got to push it on, push it off. Once you do it, it won't stay on. Can I use something to, how would you use that? And the other thing is a toaster. You have to push it down to cook it. Can you do that with the lady?
So you're talking about a coffee maker that has a digital push button that goes into like a standby mode. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. If you really, really want the smart home experience and you're not for some reason, you know, sentimentally attached to that coffee maker, I'd go out and buy like a $15 or $20 coffee pot with a hard on-off switch that's physically toggleable, if that's such a word, is toggleable, able to be toggled. Just leave it in the on position, and then you can buy a smart plug like the Wemo mini smart plug for about $29. So for under 50 bucks, you've got yourself a smart coffee maker that's fully accessible to you. You don't have to mess with screens on a coffee pot or anything. And that's the way you're going to want to do that. Something that has a standby mode that requires that kind of interaction is not really easily controlled by a smart plug. I used to have a Keurig, and I got rid of it for that reason, because I was more concerned about this, you know, being able to automate it. And the same is true with a toaster. There's not really an easy, practical way to do the actual making of the toast. You certainly could put it on a smart plug. Some people don't like to leave their toasters plugged in 24/7. So that would be an easy fix for that. You just tell her, hey, turn off the toaster. And what she's really doing is cutting power to it. But she wouldn't be able to make the toast for you. You'd still have to walk up and push the lever or the button to do that.
Okay, National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey.
It's Linda Melendez. I'm here, Janie. If you wanted me to be a Zoom administrator, I'm available, and it's good to hear Matt's voice.
Very good. Yeah, you can be a Zoom administrator. That's fine with me.
So, Michael, if you could give me right.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, before I do that,
let's see if there's somebody that can speak.
Let me unmute Judy Nelson.
Very good.
You mentioned that Siri will lock and unlock your door. Will she close and open your garage doors? Can she be programmed to do that?
Yes, absolutely. And we have her doing that. Now, again, there's a different piece of hardware you need for that. And depending on how old your garage door is, it may require an actual new opener. If you got your garage door probably before the turn of this century, you might need a new opener. They're not, depending on your financial situation, it's not a terrible inconvenience. I think we got the whole system brand new for, it was under $500 with installation, I would say. And that's, fully automated Wi-Fi enabled garage door that works with Siri, and we didn't have to replace the door, just the overhead unit that is the opener, and then a little Wi-Fi bridge that we needed as well. It's called Chamberlain MyQ is the company that makes that most popularly. LiftMaster and Chamberlain, they're the same company.
Okay, thank 856.
So Judy, I'm sorry. So Janie, your next question comes from a caller with the last four digits 5559.
That's Linda DeBardines. Go ahead, Linda.
Linda from New Jersey. Matt, do they have smart toasters? Now, I don't have the same question as Les. Like, I don't mind pushing it down, but my problem is the light and the darkness, because there's always like a die-off for that.
So I don't even know what the brand of our toaster is, to be honest with you, but it is push button. And if you were to memorize the button layout, it is pretty, pretty convenient. It doesn't talk or anything. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. You might want to, if you want to check with something like MaxiAids or one of the other companies that offer specifically, products, that are accessible. There may be something out there that I'm not aware of, but for us, we do have one that is push button. I could find out the name of that and share it with Janie later if that's something you're, interested in.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Is there any more, Janie, are there any more questions?
No, you currently have no more questions.
Okay, so we'll continue. Now we got through the morning and early afternoon. Keep going, Matt.
Okay. All right. So one of the things that is really interesting that I want to talk about in the afternoon, some days of the week, not every day, but some days of the week, we go out to lunch. We have some friends of the family, our pastor and different people, and sometimes they bring lunch here, but sometimes we go out. And I want to talk about two aspects of traveling, whether it's to lunch or somewhere else, that are something you might deal with on a regular basis. One is Apple Maps. Now, with Apple Maps, I can actually get accessible voice-guided turn-by-turn walking directions if I want to go by on foot. I could be using, you know, sighted assistance, family, friends, coworkers. I could be using a guide dog, a cane, whatever your situation calls for. But here in the United States, the walking directions have become so good and so precise that in most cases, now, you know, it's technology. There may be exceptions in some parts of the country, but they're working on it, okay? But in most parts of the country, you're going to find the walking directions will suffice, that if you have good O&M skills or good sighted assistance, you can actually be using Apple Maps. You can get turn-by-turn directions. And if you need to up the ante even further, of course, we'll give a little plug to Ira, right? Because you can have a live agent who's professionally trained in this. You still got to know how to do the mobility, but they can guide you. They can see what you're seeing, and they can let you know where, if you're headed where you want to be headed. And of course, a step down from that, but also a really awesome option is the Be My Eyes option. We can talk to a real live human at no cost. They volunteer their time and they do an excellent job. Along with that, using Apple Maps, even if I'm not walking, even if I'm with a driver, I can be doing the navigating while the person is driving. That sounds funny. I have no recollection of actually seeing. I lost my sight when I was 3. Yet I can be the navigator. Why? Because first of all, I can do business searches. So if we're with someone and we're all hungry for Mexican food, I can search for a good Mexican restaurant using Siri or Apple Maps, just for one out of, you know, probably billions of examples. But the other thing is, when I find the place we want to go, the voice-guided turn-by-turn driving directions are equally accessible. I can hear what we're supposed to do, but I can also use VoiceOver, right? This screen reader you've been learning about already. I'm sure Janie's doing an outstanding job of teaching you about that. And I can use VoiceOver to read the details. I remember an incident one time where my wife and I were coming back from a certain place, and it was dark and rainy outside, and it was very difficult for her to see. And I actually had Apple Maps going, and I would tell her, all right, your turn's coming up in 100 feet, 90 feet, 80 feet, 50 feet, 40 feet. I could actually tell her that by what VoiceOver was telling me on screen, but speaking it to me. So this is amazing, and it's a whole new level of being able to interact. Now, while we're out, if we're doing shopping, I can keep my grocery list on my iPhone. When we're in the kitchen and we're cooking and we realize we need something, I can just speak up, tell Siri to add eggs to the grocery list, and it's instantly available on all my devices. I can be shopping in the store with my Apple Watch. And when it is time to pay, whether I'm at a restaurant, whether I'm buying groceries, whether I'm, you know, at some other kind of store, we can use Apple Pay. Apple Pay, again, is something that we could have a whole hour presentation just on Apple Pay. But Apple Pay stores your cards, whether it's your personal, you know, bank cards, credit cards, or the new Apple Card just released this past year, or I guess a little over a year ago now. Really, really awesome. My favorite card, because it works with Apple Pay, which means I don't have to pull out the physical card. It's not using the real card number, which means that it's, you know, if a store would be hacked, if in the unlikely event that would happen, they wouldn't have your credit card information. This is 128-bit military-grade encryption. It's not stored online. It's stored only locally in your device. And when you want to pay for something, you literally just authenticate with your face or your fingerprint or your device passcode, and you just hold your iPhone or your Apple Watch near the credit card reader, and it automatically processes the payment. And the best thing about it, as an Apple Card user, I can go into the Apple Wallet app, and I can have the most accessible banking experience that I've ever seen. I can see all of my purchases, when they've been made, what my credit line is, what is reasonable for me to pay, both what's due and what would be a healthy amount to pay. I can actually check and track all of my spending right in that app. So that is the Apple Card and the Apple Wallet. And of course, the other parts of the afternoon could consist of more of the same type of work that we're all doing. I host teaching sessions every single day of the week, every weekday. And so we certainly could be using these apps that we've already talked about to do that. We might decide to take a break and maybe have some recreation, maybe even some outdoor activity. Now, of course, when you're doing outdoor activity, you don't really think about the fact that you're using your devices as much, and maybe you're not, because maybe, you know, you're going for a swim or a run or something like that. But even then, technology is involved, whether it's listening to your favorite playlist while you're doing these activities, or while it's tracking your calories and your fitness if you want to go that route using the Apple Watch. It's a waterproof device, so even if you're going in the pool or if you're cycling or biking or whatever it is that you're doing, you have these options. And of course, if you really want to get high tech, there's even golf clubs, tennis rackets, balls, all sorts of things that are digital that can measure your golf swing, measure, you know, these types of things as well. And of course, when we want to cool down, we certainly have digital options for you know, listening, watching, reading, all sorts of things that we've already discussed. How about some questions?
There you go. Do we have any hands up? This is a good moment to pause and take some questions.
Currently, we do not have any hands up. Maybe we could give members a few minutes or participants a few seconds. So press Alt Y, I think it is, or star 9 to raise your hand. Here we go. Sharon, I've just asked you to unmute.
Hello, Sharon.
Followed by Sharon, I'm going to unmute the caller with the last 4 digits of their phone number, 7186. Sharon, you are unmuted.
Are you looking for Sharon?
Yeah, it's kind of echoey.
The thing I've used is with Siri, it says Google Maps. What's the cost of Apple Maps?
So Apple Maps is actually included free with every iOS device. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, it ships with it. And honestly, I prefer it to Google Maps. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Google Maps, but Apple Maps is so tightly integrated into everything. So yeah, if you don't already have it, if it was, you know, inadvertently deleted or something, you could always search for it from the App Store and re-download it.
And on the Apple card, Apple will not accept our bank cards. So what do you do to get an Apple card?
If you go into the wallet app, you can apply for it right there.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. 5176 is Les.
Les from Georgia. I'd like to ask you about the Apple Watch. Do you talk to it? Do you use your fingers? And how much does it cost?
Okay. So we're talking about the Apple Watch, you say, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So yes, you can talk to it. It also has voiceover. So you can use many of the same gestures that Jane's teaching you this week. You can use your swipes and your double taps and your rotor and all these things. I don't know how far you guys have gotten yet, but you can use all the common voiceover gestures. You enter text either by your voice, or if you know how to write by hand, you can scribble. But mostly people will dictate text when they want to do that. And that text then is either an audio message or a speech to text. It will, you know, offer you either option. It is a great device that really just enhances, you know, takes things to the next level. I would say for most people, you're going to find some way that is unique to you to using it. Some people really love it for fitness. Some people use it just to be able to, you know, set a timer right on their wrist, or, you know, to do a quick reply to a message. There's a great feature called walkie talkie that 2 Apple Watch users anywhere in the world can talk with each other in real time, you know, just like a walkie talkie. I mentioned the grocery list. You can use it as an extra remote for your Apple TV. How much they cost? I believe the current price, oh boy, I haven't looked in a few days. I think they start at either $200 or $300, and then they go on up from there. I do recommend getting at least a Series 4. They're up to the Series 6 now, and they still offer a Series 3, but I recommend getting at least Series 4 because it's a faster processor. It works better with voiceover. You may not be able to get a Series 4 directly from Apple at this point, but some third-party retailers or, you know, cell phone carriers may also have them.
Thank you. Any other questions, Linda?
Yes, Linda Wellman is unmuted.
Very good.
Hi. I don't. Can you hear me?
Yes, honey.
Sure can.
Okay. I just wanted to know. You mentioned something about a digital golf club. What does that do? Does it help you find the ball? What exactly does that do?
So I will research that for you if you'd like. And Janie, you might have to bug me about this and remind me. You know, just send me a text or something. These people, I promise, I'm going to research things for. But I'm happy to do it. I have not used the golf club personally. That's not one that I have ever used, but I have seen it referred to on multiple, you know, again, I know it's designed to measure the golf swing and ultimately to help you improve it by offering pointers and guidance and things of that nature.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next person that's been unmuted is Nancy Yeager.
Go ahead. Okay, Nancy.
Yes. Do you have a recommendation for a fitness app that is good for somebody who is totally blind?
Well, I'll tell you, I would start with the native Apple Fitness app that is included on the Apple Watch and the iPhone, because that is going to offer you a lot of benefits. And it also is great at, if you use the fitness app and the Apple Health app, those will not only provide a lot of fitness and activity tracking options right there, but they're also going to sort of aggregate third-party apps. In other words, they will recommend apps from the App Store and then also store their data and allow you to access it. Most of the apps that you're going to see in the App Store for fitness are at least going to be free to try. So there wouldn't be any harm in downloading it. And then if it wasn't accessible, hey, just delete it. The other thing I will tell you is that Apple is about to release, we don't have an exact date, but they have said this fall, they're about to release Apple Fitness Plus, and it's going to be a paid subscription service. I believe it's $9 a month, and it's discounted if you pay for the year or if you bundle it with other Apple services like Apple Music, for example. And what you're going to get is this fully accessible experience where it designs custom workouts for you based upon the types of equipment. You know, if you're going to a gym or if you just want to, you know, do a walk or a dance party, or if you have a treadmill, you know, weightlifting, whatever, it's going to design these things for you. It's going to integrate with music, and you'll be able to use a combination of your Apple Watch. And if you have an Apple TV, you can do it on the big screen, the whole family thing. If you just have an iPhone or an iPad, you can do it on that. It's going to work across all of these Apple devices, just like everything else that Apple does. They're so good at that kind of integration. So I personally, if you're really asking me for my recommendations, that's not a big area of focus for me, but I will tell you that I would, for my money, it's going to be Apple Fitness Plus. It's going to be the way to go.
Okay. Well, I want something very simple, and I was using the Health app, I think it was, for a while, and I wanted to track my steps. And so I checked one day, and I had flown somewhere, but I knew I had only walked maybe 500 steps. Well, it said that I had walked thousands of steps. So it really wasn't very accurate. So basically, I only have an iPhone. I want something very, very basic.
Yeah, I still think, you know, and again, it's not a strong area of focus, so I can't say how that would compare to anything else. But I think that, you know, for using an iPhone only, that may be. Now, somebody could prove me wrong and say, hey, you have no idea what you're saying. But I've got to believe that what you experienced there with the flying is going to happen regardless of the app if all you're using is the iPhone. If you have something on your wrist, like an Apple Watch, then I think it's going to be able to be more precise, because it's detecting the specifics of your movement. You know, it can tell the difference between walking and running and driving. I think the phone is supposed to be able to do that as well. You know, so it could be that an update has improved that. But I don't really think that's necessarily specific to an app. Let me put it that way.
This is Jerry, one of the hosts.
Yes, honey. Yes, go ahead.
I apologize. I can't raise my hand. So I just wanted to say that one of the there's a health app on the phone that will keep track of steps that's pretty accurate. On the Apple Watch, one of the great features that I really enjoy is the being able to tell the time and nobody know it. You can do a one-finger double tap on the watch and it vibrates the time. It doesn't take much to get used to that. And
yes, that's right. Absolutely.
Amazing. It's an amazing thing to be able to tell the time. I know that seems so simple, but you know, if you have a Braille watch, you can do it, but everything else is verbal. And so it's so nice to be able to tell the time. And I just wanted to make one comment. I might have missed some of your presentation. Did you talk at all about Google Maps?
Well, it was somebody had asked a question about it, and it is accessible. I prefer Apple Maps because it is more tightly integrated with the entire Apple ecosystem and the various Apple hardware, software, and services. If somebody needs to use Google Maps for some reason, it definitely will do the job, though.
It's very effective. I find that with the Apple Maps, it seems very cumbersome to get. You know, you can get, like on Apple, on Google, I can say, put an address in there, and then I can flick up and go through every turn by turn instructions, which is really, really a nice option. I apologize. Yeah. My phone's ringing.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to let him know you can do that with Apple Maps, too. There's just an option you have to tap to bring up those steps.
Well, the good news is there's many ways to do it, and these are two ways, Google Maps.
Exactly.
And
everybody's got their personal preferences. That's right.
Right. Linda, if there's no more hands, I'm going to let Matt continue. 3:33. Linda Melendez, are there any more hands?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had muted myself. I'm sorry, Jamie. There is one hand raised. Vincent Alorza. I've asked him to unmute himself. He's unmuted.
Another New Jersey guy. Go ahead, Vincent.
Hey, Vince.
Vincent, unmute yourself again. I think we were doing it at the same time.
Okay, there am I unmuted now?
There you are. Go ahead.
Here I am. A quick question. I'm about to, I need to get a new iPad. I'm going to go with the A12, 128, 429. I'm a pretty good typist, and I've had problems with the virtual keyboard. So I want to get a keyboard to go with the iPad. Should I go with I noticed that there are two options: the SmartPad, the Smart Keyboard, and the Logitech keyboard. Any suggestions?
That depends on who you ask. Of course, you come to our sessions normally, and as usual, Cliff and I will have a rivalry here, because Cliff loves that Logitech keyboard, and I like both of them. I really like the Apple Smart Keyboard, though. I like the feel of it. I like the fact that it's so lightweight that it doesn't add a whole lot of bulk to the iPad. It's more of a luxury-looking item than a rugged-looking item. So I think it kind of depends on personal preference. If you get the Apple Smart Keyboard, you're gonna maybe, if you need to carry your iPad around, maybe also gonna want to get an Apple leather sleeve to put it in when you're traveling, as opposed to the Logitech one is gonna give you front and back protection. So it's kind of up to you, kind of personal preference. I'm a big fan of the Apple one though, but the Logitech one is also really good.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Matt, we're going to continue on, honey, and then we'll do some more questions at the very end.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So we're up to evening now. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then I have one other thing I'd like to add in there too. So when it comes to the evening, of course, you know, we've kind of covered the gamut of things here already, but I just want to point a few things out about evening. You know, again, we have apps for just about everything we do. If we're going to make dinner, if we're going out to dinner, if we're going to use recipe. I mean, right now, my son, who is a fantastic chef, by the way, at only 13 years old, is in the process, as I'm teaching here, of making Maryland crab soup. You still doing okay out there? You doing? Yep. And he's using, I sent him the recipe from an app, a recipe app, and he's in the process of making that as we speak. And, so you have apps that do all these things. You have apps that help you with ingredient substitutions. You have anything you can imagine. Now, another aspect of the evening is, of course, our family time. And this can be a variety of things that we do. This can be, you know, for us, we are a family of believers in Christ. We do Bible reading. We have we have Bible apps, which, by the way, sometimes I preach also. And it's so helpful to have those points up there and those Bible verses I can read on my iPad. But we can be doing that or watching videos of it. Another thing we can do is family game night. We have physical board games, to be sure, but we also have board games and all kinds of other games on our iPads, on our Apple TVs. We can be playing. Now, of course, my kids use Apple Arcade. Now, that's very new, and there's not a lot of accessible games yet, if any, on Apple Arcade, but that will come, I think, given time. But in the meantime, there are other games, of course, that are accessible for the iPhone, the iPad, and the Apple TV. There are even games that allow us to have our iPhones or iPads as players, like controllers, while the game is displayed on the big screen using the Apple TV. So we certainly can do that. And whether it's drawing with the Apple Pencil or whether it's playing a game, we can use our technology in these ways. Of course, another example is reading and reading to the kids. You know, it's always great to do your own reading, but sometimes you like to have somebody read to you. And it is awesome to be able to read to my kids. And I can use Apple Books to do that. And again, just like we talked about with Apple Maps and Google Maps, there's always going to be other options. Some people will use Kindle. Some people will use Bard Mobile. There's all sorts of ways to do it. But if you use these, you can be reading and you have voiceover reading to you, or you can get audio ones. There's even read aloud ones that my kids can read, and it follows the text as the person speaking, and it turns the pages for them. But I just love being able to use Apple Books, pick up a book and read to my kids, and we're all reading the same thing. And because it's Apple Books, because it's digital, it's also interactive. So my kids can see photo galleries. They can see videos embedded in the books. They can see all sorts of things. I wrote a book about the Titanic in time for the 100th anniversary of the sinking back in 2012. It's available on the Apple Bookstore for free. And part of that book is part of the benefit of that is that I've been able to update that thing every single year. So your books are up to date. And as things change, because, you know, I thought when I wrote the book in 2012 that there would be no more new information about the Titanic sinking anymore. But that's just not true. true. There are still things that are coming to the surface, no pun intended, but there are still things that are being discovered as time goes by that have caused me to go back and say, hey, I really need to acknowledge this in this book. Or maybe I found I messed up something. Whatever the case may be, it's easy for me to submit these updates to Apple, but the book also can have web links in it. It can have image galleries, which even though I can't see, VoiceOver will tell me what's in the images, especially now with the new image recognition you have. VoiceOver recognition in iOS 14 is just marvelous. It truly is incredible. It's not a perfect system, but it is by far the best thing I've ever seen when it comes to this stuff. It really is incredible. So reading, again, watching TV, and whatever we do in the evening, making our snacks, getting ready for bed, all of these things have these digital components. You can even take, now there's, some of this stuff we don't do, we haven't done anyway. I think our kids might like it, but we haven't done the toothbrush thing. You can even buy digital smart toothbrushes now that have a component to them on your phone that shows you the areas that you need to brush better. I mean, this is really, really, yeah, it's a different world that we've ever, that we've ever lived in before. And I think my son's saying he has something to add. What do you? Oral-B just came out with a new toothbrush that even has a screen that they show you right on there for those that can see it. That's incredible. Wow. From smart vacuum cleaners to, the whole day. And by the way, setting up routines for these things to happen automatically. So, some people have a specific bedtime routine that happens every day and they want to have a certain song play. They want to have a certain app open if it's their Bible app or their books or, whatever they want to read before they go to bed to kind of wind down. Whatever they're doing, they can have this predefined. So they can tell Siri, hey, it's nighttime, or it just happens at a certain time. We have it automatically set up that at 11 o'clock at night, our door locks. If it's unlocked, our security system arms, it notifies us. I mean, it just is an incredible world. And for me, I'm very much a night person. So nighttime still means even doing some more work, but I think I've covered all the areas, making podcasts and doing all of these different things that we typically see on a given basis. Yesterday, I had to make an invoice for someone for services. And so I used Apple numbers to invoice them. I had my mother, because my wife was getting ready for bed already, as a teacher, and my kids were doing other things. So I had my mom, who sometimes does visual design work with me. I said, hey, let me make you a collaborator. Look over this for me. Make sure I didn't make any glaring errors, And she checked it out. Everything checked out. We did what we needed to do, able to send that off digitally. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The other point that I want to add to all this, I think we've got time before we go to questions here. I just want to talk about a slightly different aspect of things, because as I said, most of what I do is working from home, but there are occasions on which I do get to travel or do need to travel for certain events, like, except for this year, the NFB State Convention in New Jersey, which is one of our favorite times of year. We love the people. We love everything we get to do and just being part of that. And I will tell you this, we used technology in incredible ways when we came down there last year, from booking our train tickets on Amtrak, which was a fully accessible experience. I was able to book the tickets in the Amtrak app, request the disability discount. I was able to store those train tickets in our Apple wallet so I could just show them digitally to the conductor. Mm-hmm. From doing all of those things to, finding the Starbucks where you're going to get the coffee. When we got to the hotel, the Marriott Bonvoy app, I don't even think last year they were doing it, but supposedly you can unlock the rooms with your Apple Watch now. I don't know if we'll have to try that next year, hopefully. One of the other really cool things that we did when we were down there, and it was one of the first times we had done it, one of the evenings we got back to our hotel room after one of the conferences. I think the kids were, all they wanted to do was to swim in the pool, which I was excited about too. So we did that, and everybody was tired, but we were hungry. We said, well, we don't really feel like going anywhere. We just want to stay in the room. It's been a long day. We traveled. Let's stay in the room. And the restaurant at the Delta is fantastic. It really is. Their room service is great, but the kids were hungry for something different this time. So I said, I know what we'll do. I said, we'll use Grubhub. And we were able to pull up, the one day it was a pizza place, one day it was Chinese. I mean, we were able to do this right on our phones. It's fully accessible. I've since then have used Grubhub and DoorDash several times in different places. And I love the convenience of it. And with this current situation that the world is going through, it's even better because it can be completely contact free. You pay in the app. We actually do our grocery shopping contact free, and our store does not participate. Like, we're a little bit more of a rural area, so we don't have like Instacart or Postmates, but our store has its own app. And in that app, I can search for and buy any grocery that I want, and it's handpicked. So if I go in there and I say, you know, I want the fruit to be really ripe, or I want this, you know, I can give special instructions, and they honor them. And if there's a problem, if there's something that they're out of, they'll text me and they'll say, hey, can we substitute, I don't know, can we substitute International Delights creamer for Coffee Mate or whatever, you know, the case may be. And they'll get my approval on that. I pay in the app and they just load it into my car. And that service costs absolutely nothing at our particular store. There's no cost above and beyond the, you know, the standard purchasing of whatever items you're going to buy. So, I mean, this, you know, it truly is a gift from God, but whatever your belief is on that, you got to admit this technology is life changing. It has enabled us to learn, to create, to work, to play, to express ourselves, and even to communicate in new ways that we never before thought possible. Talking to my parents, or the kids talking to their grandparents over FaceTime, has been so important, especially during these times when people are not getting together in person as frequently. It truly is revolutionary. And, you know, I want to quote a mutual friend of ours, Janie, David DeNoteris, made the statement many years ago that nothing is more fun than finding out that you can do something independently that you never before could do. And I mean, I think we all experience that. We want to be able to do the same things that our sighted counterparts are doing in the same ways. And for years, we've been told maybe there's no way we can do this, or we've thought ourselves there's no way we can do this. And that has all changed. Whoever thought that a blind guy could be a tech person making videos, creating keynote presentations, you know, doing the grocery shopping. I mean, this is stuff that is just truly revolutionary. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share it today. It's been fantastic, and we'll take some more questions before we leave.
I wish you could just be a little more enthusiastic, Matt. I love your energy. I love it. It's just great. And touche to your comment, because Jerry had mentioned about, you know, listening for the time without having anybody listening for the time. Something that simple to a sighted person, they're like, what? But to us, every little bit that we can do by ourselves is one more piece of the puzzle that we can do. It's just great. So let's go for questions, Linda. If there's any hands raised, please.
Yes. Bill Borner has his hand raised and he is unmuted.
Ahead, Bill.
Hi, y'all. Hi, y'all. Sure. Jersey rocks. You're making me miss all my relatives. I wanted to tease Matt, though. He didn't do the dishes. I'm having problems getting my Samsung dishwasher operated by my iPhone. So Samsung and Apple don't get along. Do I have to use Alexa? What do I need to bridge my iPhone and my Samsung appliances? And
yeah, the HomeKit platform, as it's called, that Apple uses for smart home devices, the smart appliances like dishwashers and stuff like that have not really adopted that yet, because it required some internal changes on the part of the manufacturers. And so you probably will have a better experience there using the A-Lady, as I like to say, so that they don't go off all around the community, as we say them. But I will say that Apple, Google, and Amazon have partnered up on a new universal open standard for smart home products. And I suspect you will see a lot of products released under that new platform within the next 2 or 3 years. And so it's very possible there may even be firmware updates to your existing dishwasher. Of course, don't hold me to that. I can't speak for them. But that's the goal, is to get all these products to be interoperable regardless of what platform they were designed for, regardless of who designed them. So that is a very, very, very much a reality now. It's just going to take time for that to filter through the system, I think.
Thank you. Thank you.
Janie, we currently have no other hands raised.
Currently have no other hands raised. Okay. So let me see how much time we have. We have 3:48.
3:48.
We have about almost 10 minutes. Is there anything else that you can talk about besides the data and digital life? How about if you explain what you're teaching, your courses, the TTJ, the podcast, how to sign up for your, you know, blog and things like that. How about that?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, definitely. Thanks so much. Yeah. Sure. So, you know, part of what I decided to do a couple years back, and it actually coincided with Apple releasing what was at that time the 6th generation iPad. And I, you know, hopefully you all heard Vince when he shared that Sharon. Okay. Well, I'll make this quick so we can get to you. When Vince shared that he's going to get a new iPad, he's talking about the 8th generation iPad. So it's the same family, just 2 years newer. When they released that in 2018, I said Apple has revolutionized something all over again, because they've made this so affordable. And I want want to offer free classes to people so that they can learn what the capabilities of these devices are, what they can do with their devices. And we started out in our first class with 47 students. We're now up to over 200 students in most of our classes or right there. About current class that's going on, I think we got like 193 or something like that. Praise God. So what we're offering completely free courses, my friends. Now, I do offer paid training also. That's, you know, one-on-one. But if you want to come into a group setting where we do it through Zoom, or actually we're using WebEx this year, but works very similar. We just kind of outgrew Zoom's limits. But we are, you know, we're teaching these classes, no cost to you, no obligation whatsoever. You come, we teach you right now. We're teaching voiceover from the ground up. We call it learning voiceover in and out. And we're only about a week and a half in. So if you still wanted to join, that's a possibility. I'll tell you how in a minute. But we're teaching that. We're going to teach a month with the Macintosh in January. We're going to teach the iPad in starting in March through May. We're going to teach how to use the iPad to even replace a traditional computer if you want. A lot of these things that I shared today, you know, how do you run your business from an iPad and all these different sorts of things. Now, if you want to, and we also offer, regardless of whether you've signed up for a class or not, you don't have to even sign up for these. We also offer free virtual help sessions every Tuesday and Thursday. As a matter of fact, as soon as I leave here, I'm going back to the help session that's in progress now. And you just join us. We have a link available each time. It's different, but I'll tell you again how to get to that. And these help sessions, you can ask your questions about Apple products, about TV streaming, about networking. Vince knows. He's been to a few of them. And we offer these to you free of charge, so you can come in digitally, virtually, and they start at 3 p.m. Eastern time every Tuesday and Thursday. So where do you get all of this information? How do you get in touch with us? Well, the first thing I'm going to give you is our website. Okay, it's ttjtech.net. So that's Tango, Tango, Juliet, TTJ, the word tech, T-E-C-H, dot N-E-T. And TTJ stands for the Tech Juggernaut. TTJtech.net is going to have a place right on the main page to subscribe to the blog. If you don't find it, hit the menu and widgets button so you can expand the menu and see all the things on that page. Enter your email address to subscribe to the blog, because when we make any kind of announcements, new classes, registration links, promotions on our paid services, you can find them all on that blog, and you'll actually get an email when we release something. There's also contact information on that page if you need to get a hold of us by email or iMessage. iMessage is the best way if you're comfortable with the Messages app. That information is all there on ttjtech.net. We write tips and tricks articles. We have a YouTube channel. The other thing we have is a podcast, Janie mentioned, and that podcast is called TTJ Talk. So Tango, Tango, Juliet, and the word talk, T-A-L-K. And you can find that on basically any podcast platform. Of course, I prefer Apple Podcasts. You can use Siri to find that, but you can also find it if you ask Alexa, or if you use Google or Spotify, any of these platforms, Overcast, whatever you like to use, you should be able to find TTJ Talk on there as well. So Janie, I think we have maybe another raised hand. I don't know.
Yes, I thought Sharon had her hand raised.
Yep, I think so too.
Can you hear me?
Yes, honey.
What is the name of your book, number one, your book on the Titanic?
Oh, the name of, well, it's a bit of a long name, but also I'll give it to Janie again and she can send it. So the full title, it's hyphenated. It's Titanic, the most complete story ever told. And it's the anniversary edition. That's actually completely free on Apple Books. You can download it. They have it seems like the first time you open it, for some odd reason, some feature of it, the image gallery or something, sometimes causes the Books app to misbehave and then you got to force quit the app. But if you relaunch it the second time, it's perfectly fine. And I have talked to Apple about this and they are aware of it. They say it complies with all their guidelines. So we don't know why it's doing that, but the second time you open it, it's fine. So Titanic, the most complete story ever told. And the anniversary edition is the one you want.
Okay. The other thing, is it hard to set up FaceTime? Somebody asked me about that today and I had trouble setting it up. So
now are you talking face ID? Is that what you mean? The facial recognition?
Time where you hold conversations.
Oh, just FaceTime. Oh no, actually it's not at all. It really should be set up. That's why I was getting some clarification there. I apologize.
Yes.
I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. It shouldn't really require any setup. If you got your device natively, it should just work. If it doesn't, you would have to go into settings and into FaceTime under settings and make sure that you're signed in with your Apple ID. If it says sign in, then you might need to enter your Apple ID and password, because the possibility that, you know, for some odd reason, that may not be the case. But yeah, once you do that, you can easily make a FaceTime call using Siri, or you can launch the FaceTime app and add from your contacts or a phone number or an Apple ID email. And then, you know, also if you're on an existing phone call, you can even switch it to FaceTime. You just got to hide the keypad, because they show the digital telephone keypad on screen first. But at the bottom near the pound sign is a hide button that hides the keypad. And you'll actually find a FaceTime button there. You can convert your existing phone call, active phone call, into a FaceTime call.
Is there a Braille manual on Apple TV? I have a regular TV, but bought the remote, and I've watched some things with it, but I haven't messed with it in 2 or 3 months, because I know Hadley has work on it, but I didn't know if it's a manual.
I don't know if there is a Braille one, but I'll tell you what we just did. TTJTech.net just released. In fact, it's probably, I'd have to look to be sure, but it's probably still right on the main page in our latest posts, because it was pretty recent. I actually did an audio recording describing the layout of the remote, describing how to navigate with VoiceOver, and the basics of getting around on the Apple TV. You may want to listen to that, and then you can use the Apple TV user guide that you can get either on Apple Books or just by going in Safari or any web browser and searching Apple Support Apple TV User Guide, because it's either web-based or digital book, whichever you prefer. But if you need extra help with that remote and the VoiceOver thing, I really like the tutorial that we just released on TTJTech.net.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. I think we have time for one more question, if there's one more hand raised.
Janie, there are no hands raised.
Okay, great. Well, then, you know what we'll do? We'll say special thanks to Matt, my good friend. As always, you excite me and energize me, and I'm an excitable energizer bunny myself, and you make me look like I'm a sad sack. But anyway, I thank you always, as always, for all the good you're doing in the world. You're really helping move blind people forward, and understanding that we're in a situation right now that's never been happened before. Just like Braille, when the first time Braille came out, I can imagine reading Braille for the first time, you know, and now people still read Braille, of course, and it's valuable. This iPhone, Apple, all this digital stuff is ours and makes us as individuals on par, if not better, than sighted peers. And I think that's wonderful.